Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is the first of a couple of episodes we'll be doing this week on COVID-19 vaccines and the latest developments around that subject. In today's episode, we'll give you a quick explainer on some concerns about a vaccine candidate from Bharat Biotech that emerged over the last few days. That is after Haryana Health Minister Anil Vij, who was a trial participant for the vaccine, tested positive for COVID-19 2 weeks after being given a shot. So how do we understand and interpret news like this? Given that as the possibility of a vaccine now looms ever closer, we're likely to hear of more incidents like this and more reports. What we'll try and explain in this podcast is that infections among some participants are actually part of the clinical trial design for most vaccines, including the one by Bharat Biotech. Exactly how that works, I'll leave to my guest today to explain. That's Jacob Koshy, The Hindu's deputy science editor. We'll also go over some of the latest developments with regard to clinical trials for all the major vaccine candidates. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us today and welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Jayant. Great catching up.
Right. So big story of the past few days, and you have an article also about this in the paper today. Yeah. There was some confusion about the Bharat Biotech vaccine. Of course, vaccine is on the top of everybody's minds right now, as it's looking like it might, number of candidates might imminently become available. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of confusion because there was this minister who was a trial participant for the Bharat Biotech vaccine.
Yeah.
But soon after that, he tested positive, after taking this trial shot.
Yeah.
He tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So let's just sort of lay it out there. What happened there and what was the confusion about?
Okay. So Bharat Biotech, along with the Serum Institute of India in Pune, they are India's two vaccine companies that are furthest ahead in developing or being part of a vaccine that is expected to be widely available in India. By furthest ahead, it means that they are both part of phase 3 clinical trials, which is the last stage of clinical trials of testing a vaccine, in which it is tested in the thousands of people and at multiple trial sites. So Bharat Biotech's candidate vaccine is called Covaxin. Covaxin is being tested. It has passed preliminary trials, phase 1, phase 2, and it is now being tested in nearly 28,500 people. That is the number of people who will be tested as part of the phase 3 trials. Now, one of these centers was in a hospital in Haryana. So what happened was the Haryana health minister, as part of publicity 14 days ago, had agreed to be a volunteer in the vaccine trial. And, he's not exceptional in that. There have been several ministers, several prominent personalities, at different locations, who publicly claim that, they are participating as a volunteer, for this test vaccine. So he had got himself inoculated, and 14 days later, that was just day before yesterday, he tweeted saying that he had tested COVID positive. Now, on the surface, it does look like he is the guy who got a vaccine shot and now he's tested positive. So does this mean that the vaccine is a failure? Absolutely not. So how it works is that Anil Vij, the Haryana health minister who got himself inoculated, was a participant in the vaccine trial. That means that the trial vaccine is given as two doses. Each dose is 28 days apart. And every dose that you get could actually be the real vaccine or a placebo or a dummy vaccine, so to say. That is part of the trial design. So once you get the, even the doctor or even the patient, even the administering doctor and the patient, they do not know who is getting a actual vaccine and who is getting a dummy shot. So there is no way to know that, Anil Vij actually got the vaccine. At least that's how it is supposed to be. If everybody knows who's getting what, then it kind of defeats the entire purpose of the trial and it wouldn't be looked upon kindly by the regulator. That's at least that's what the rules say. So we can rule out one part, that is, you know, we don't know whether he got the actual vaccine or not. The second part is part of the trial design, that is the way they test these vaccines, is to determine something called vaccine efficacy. That is to determine the relative benefit in people who have got the vaccine, or rather the volunteers who have got the vaccine, compared to the volunteers who did not get the vaccine. So for it is this, now this comes into medical statistics, but how this works is that, you know, there have been 28,500 people who've been recruited to be volunteers and who will be inoculated over 28 days. Now, how the company works is once this has happened, once all these people have got their vaccine shots, they will be continuously monitored. They will be evaluated, blood samples will be taken. They are supposed to report their health status at various points of time. And the company will wait for 130 COVID infections across this, you know, across this group, across the first 130 infections, so to say. Once they have 130, they will see how many of those 130 were among those who got the vaccine and how many did not get the vaccine. And then they will compare those two ratios. And that's how you get figures like, you know, 90% of those who got the vaccine were protected as opposed to those who did not get it. This is a very standard process. Everybody from Pfizer, Moderna, and the Oxford AstraZeneca group, the Russians, Sputnik V vaccine, they all follow the similar trial design. And that's how Pfizer, Moderna, they have been able to claim vaccine efficacy of 94%. Somebody, Moderna has, again, 95%. Sputnik V, again, is 92%. Oxford is between 60 to 90. You know, they've got a, because they did different kinds of dosages, for instance. It's all based on this way. It is expected that a certain number of people will get sick. And after that, you can make a comparison, so to say. The same idea, they also used, those who have fallen, who have, even if they did test positive, did any of those guys go on to develop severe disease? That is also something that you will check. Many of the vaccines actually are now, one of the things that they're looking for is, okay, it's good to be good. It's good if the vaccine generates enough of an immune response to completely protect against the virus. But it's also good if the immune response is sufficient to prevent severe disease, so to say. That is also, and that is one of the endpoints of, you know, all of these trials. So Pfizer has sought emergency approval in India based on, you know, the fact that, you know, their vaccines had a 90%+ efficacy and none of the people contracted severe disease. So falling sick is expected, and it is in no way an indication of the vaccine's efficacy. But yes, if lots of people are falling sick and that will emerge in the trials, and then that would lead to different discussions on whether the vaccine works or whether should more people be recruited. Are there specific age groups that are more vulnerable? That is all a discussion for a later day.
Right. So if I can just press you on one thing, just to get an explanation of this preventing severe disease bit. Mm-hmm. I did read Pfizer and I think Moderna also. I think that their finding was that it prevented severe disease.
Yes.
If you could just take us over how that is determined once again. So is that a figure that's sort of computed from the number of people who do fall sick during the vaccine trials?
Yes. So they actually monitor. So all participants are continuously monitored over. Actually, a vaccine trial, that's the reason why a vaccine trial can actually last for years. But now we are in an accelerated format. So there are shorter, these follow-ups are done over weeks and months. Even these trials, even in their accelerated format, are expected to last for, you know, at least 6 or 7 months. A lot of things actually have to be determined, whether there are severe adverse events, whether, there are reactions, unexpected, fallout, etc. So all of this can only be revealed over time. Severe disease, we all know that, so far, the odds seem to be that, 80 to 85% of those who contract, who test positive, will not be severely ill. It's only about 15% who will probably need to be hospitalized, and 5% who would need critical care. And the death rate is about 1%, 1.5% in India at least. So these are the odds that we are looking at. So it is highly critical that, you know, to see if a vaccine, to see if the your candidate vaccine at least has the ability to protect from severe disease, because testing positive per se is not is not a damning kind of situation. So that is a very valuable endpoint that trial makers will look at. Another point is I discuss vaccine efficacy. Now, this efficacy is calculated based on volunteers who are physically present, who have been evaluated in the trial. Remember, these are people who will be getting the best quality of care. They are being supervised in the lab conditions. Vaccine effectiveness is a whole different concept. Vaccine effectiveness is how good the vaccine is once it's actually rolled out, you know, everywhere. That's where, you know, because this, that is a whole different ball game, because vaccine in laboratory conditions are preserved well, kept well at the right temperatures. Once outside, you are exposed to the environment. Some of the vials won't work. Some, there will be breakage. People might not show up for their second dose. You know, all of those complications get in, and that will be revealed only over time as to how effective a particular vaccine is. Now, that can only be done, however, once a vaccine is actually approved and, you know, is passed by the regulator. And it is companies do something called post-marketing surveillance to actually continuously check. And their hospitals are expected to report back, cases of, you know, severe adverse events, etc. And this monitoring is done. So effectiveness is the ultimate proof of a vaccine over the long term. But you can't ever get effectiveness unless you know the vaccine's efficacy, which is a prerequisite for it to be cleared, so to say.
Right. So just to sort of pan out a little bit now and talk about the state of all these vaccine trials and candidates in India at the moment. We did carry a story last week, this Duke University report that basically gave procurement figures of various countries and the number of vaccine doses that they've ordered. It's notable there that actually Bharat Biotech doesn't figure in India's procurement total. What's the reason for that?
So I would imagine the procurement is based on numbers given by facilities such as COVAX, which is an international kind of consortium which is coordinating vaccine trials and procurement as well as distribution of vaccines to needy countries. So most of their figures rely on estimates. Serum, AstraZeneca, because they are part of COVAX, you know, would probably be counted among that. Bharat Biotech, I mean, I'm not sure it has actually been pre-qualified or, you know, or has not, probably not applied to it yet. Again, these figures, there is no the government of India still has not really committed to an order book for any number of vaccines. Let's be very clear about these are speculative, these are estimated figures. These are based on the population then. So there is India, which is which has got such a huge population. It is expected that, you know, a certain faction will have to get vaccines. And we know that India actually has got multiple candidates. I mean, we've only discussed Serum and Bharat Biotech, but there is Zydus Cadila, Zycov-D, there is Sputnik V, there is Genova, which Biopharm, which hasn't even started trials yet, but is going to be, if it all goes through, will be India's first mRNA vaccine. So all of them, but that's there in early phases of trial. So it's only after they pass a certain number of criteria will probably, tenders would be out to discuss, you know, how many, what is the kind of assured supply that, India is going to get. So because Serum is part of COVAX and, you know, through COVAX, India is committed to get a certain percentage of vaccine. India, however, has said that, you know, it plans to inoculate at least 30 crore people from high priority groups in the first 6 months. So I'm guessing that, you know, this would mean 300 million, I guess. And this could mean that, you know, only a Serum alone cannot ever meet such a demand, you know, in such a short time. You would need several kind of buyers. So I guess once trial results become more available, and depending on what drug regulators rule, you know, these numbers could be modified, and even Bharat Biotech probably, and it's quite widely expected, is going to be a major supplier of India-based vaccines. But first, we need to know that those vaccines actually work.
Right. So, you know, the Serum Institute of India, they've asked for emergency authorization use for the AstraZeneca vaccine, mm-hmm. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. So, you know, based on what we spoke about these trials, and there's a number, you know, in mm-hmm. the way in which this efficacy is calculated. Yeah. Does the fact that they've asked for this emergency authorization, do they mean they're completely sure of it, or do these trials still continue now?
So we really don't know, because Serum has not made any details public about on what basis have they approached the regulator for emergency use authorization. Pfizer, Moderna, Sputnik V, they have all disclosed their efficacy data to publicly, all of last month. Whereas Serum has not. Serum, because has a tie-up, the Serum vaccine is the AstraZeneca vaccine essentially. So
yeah,
it is the data of the UK in terms of efficacy that will that Serum will present to the Indian regulators for to make a case for the vaccine's availability in India too. That is part of the regulatory process. I mean, an imported vaccine can be approved if it is approved by a regulator elsewhere, because if it's by a regulator elsewhere, can be approved for use in India. Though AstraZeneca still hasn't been given an approval anywhere, even internationally. Serum has not discussed any efficacy data of its Indian trial. So, but Adar Poonawalla, the CEO, 2 weeks ago had said that they would be they definitely would be applying for emergency use authorization, within December, and. He has just publicly announced that, but there is nothing else known. One thing that is going for Serum is, because other than the UK efficacy trials, is that the vaccine needs to be stored only in 2 to 8 degrees centigrade, unlike the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that require minus 25 or even lower, which is the kind of that level of cold storage facilities isn't available in India. So right. This looks like a pretty good bet for us, in terms of what is happening. But if you're just looking at data from a regulatory perspective, nothing so far is public yet as to on what basis have they applied for it.
Right. And Jacob, just another point that I wanted to clarify, like this Bharat Biotech vaccine is a 2-shot thing. I think the shots are given 28 days apart.
Yeah.
2 doses. Are most of the other vaccine candidates also 2-shot?
All of them. There is no single shot vaccine. All of them are 28 day, given 28 or 21 days apart, because that is the kind of time that is required for the immune system to, the first shot is given as a kind of a teaser shot, and though they have both the same quantities in terms of 0.5 ml from what I understand, but it's only in the second shot that, you actually get a boost, so to say. And the antibody production is much higher. So this is how vaccine development actually evolves. Over time, you start out with the most coarser, inconvenient one. So it's actually practically quite inconvenient to go twice. And, especially for something that has got such massive demand. So logistics is going to be massive. Next year is going to be just a very, very crucial year in terms of just how these vaccinations are going to be going. But as time progresses, it becomes possible to have a single shot, or it becomes possible that they can be nasal drops, they don't need to be injected, etc. So all those modifications and designs are part of typical vaccine development. But as of now, everything is a 2-shot vaccine.
Right. Okay. Right, Jacob, so just wanted to reiterate for our listeners the sort of first point that we began with, because I think news like this may come out more frequently.
Yeah.
So it's not that we should interpret, data coming out, or perhaps isolated cases of somebody getting the vaccine and then testing positive in this trial stage, at least, that's not necessarily an unexpected development.
Not at all.
Right?
Not at all.
Right. Jacob, thank you. I think we've covered a lot in that conversation. Thank you for joining us on this podcast.
My pleasure, Jayant. Bye.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.